Welcome to the Jeremiah Patterson Show, and thank you for joining me on this Monday. Never before in the history of the United States of America has a former president been indicted. This is something that we've seen happen in other democracies, but as far as the United States, this has never happened before. Of course, last week, the news broke that former President Donald Trump was indicted on multiple criminal charges, like, you know, we're talking like dozens of criminal charges, up to 30 criminal counts. And Trump will appear in court tomorrow for arraignment. But I do believe it is important for those of you listeners who are listeners of the Jeremiah Patterson Show. This is a huge moment. We did report on something like this getting ready to happen, something like this becoming imminent. We reported on that a couple of weeks ago, and now we are here with that news. Tomorrow is the arraignment in court where Trump will appear. Now, it is important to essentially lay out the facts here. Why is he being indicted? Why is this happening? Typically, you know, if you are running for public office, if you're running for any political office or organization of some type, something of high national prominence, you probably shouldn't run if you have something to hide. I mean, like, that is just like political wisdom, political common sense. But if you do have something to hide, what typically happens is if you really, really don't want that secret coming out, if you really, really don't want that proverbial skeleton falling out of the closet or tripping on something and, you know, verbalizing what you have done, then you are going to go to great lengths, essentially, to keep that surreptitious, whether that is hush money or other efforts to make sure that stays quiet. And what happened, this is something that fairly happens in politics. Back in the 1970s, Herbert Kalmbach, Richard Nixon's personal and lawyer and fixer, ended up paying off some Watergate burglars to keep quiet about Nixon's involvement in Watergate, about their involvement, and about to their extent in the scandal. But what happened here in 2016 is when Donald Trump ran for president of the United States in 2016, two porn stars, Karen McDougal and Stormy Daniels, were threatening. They said, we are going to go public with these reports. We are going to go public, essentially saying that, yes, we had an affair with you. We had an affair with you during your marriage. We are going to go public with that. And so what happens here in this case is Michael Cohen, President Trump's longtime lawyer, former longtime lawyer and a fixer, ends up paying off those two women. We're talking about like $150,000 payments. And so he pays them off, right? So that happens. And I mean, it's not like he paid them off, you know, surreptitiously. I'm Trump, I'm going to pay them off with my own personal money. No, Trump ended up paying off these two females with, you know, actual campaign money, and then he covered it as campaign expenses. That is illegal. Campaign finance laws are actual thing, which actual people and actual politicians have actually been indicted for and have actually gone to jail for and served prison sentences for. Like, this is not something you can evade. This is not something that you can just do and live, you know, willy-nilly, live freely and everything in your life. This is something that people actually get caught and go to prison for. Campaign finances are a real thing. Prosecutors in SDNY in the Southern District of New York ended up prosecuting Michael Cohen for that scheme, for his involvement in that scheme. But Michael Cohen, he was not the one. He was not the only one involved in that scheme, because who actually wrote the check? Who actually signed off on those checks? Those $100,000 payments. The person who actually signed off on those $100,000 payments to Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal, these porn stars that Trump had an affair with on his marriage with Melania Trump, Donald Trump signed off on those checks. His name was on those checks, right? And so, you know, Michael Cohen ends up going to jail for this. And the reason why, you know, in the indictment against Michael Cohen, what prosecutors listed as individual one, the main perpetrator of this crime, the main person who instituted and essentially helped assist this crime, was Donald Trump. At Michael Cohen's behest, essentially, they listed President Trump at the time as individual one. Individual one. the president, the current president of the United States was listed as individual one in that case, in this hush money porn star case. And Trump was never indicted for that in office because there is this long time Justice Department procedure policy of we can't indict a sitting president. That essentially arose in the Watergate scandal when, you know, Nixon was under investigation for his role in Watergate and how indicting a sitting president would essentially complicate things potentially for the day-to-day offices of the president of the United States and how that might be a national security risk in terms of him having to appear in court and also to do his daily job as the president. So that's where that arose from, right? Trump can't be indicted because he's the president of the United States and he's sitting in office. However, we do have a constitution. We are a constitutional republic. We are a democracy. Our founding fathers did not slip up when they wrote the constitution. Because what happens is no man is above the law in this country, right? No president is above the law. That's why we have impeachment. No former president is above the law. That's why we have the criminal law system, which is far-reaching. And it goes to everyone. No one is immune from the criminal law. No one is immune from the rule of law in this country. So per the Constitution, if you are a former president, if you are a former politician, if you are a former anybody, you can be subjected to criminal charges. You can even be subjected to that type of, you know, litany in office. And so, yes, President Trump was impeached for a whopping two times. And, you know, the first time, of course, Ukraine scandal. The second time was the January 6th insurrection. But along the way, of course, there were multiple investigations into the president of the United States, Donald Trump at the time, for his involvement in this hush money scandal, as well as other multiple financial crimes. We're talking superseding indictments, superseding long litigation papers on the former president by prosecutors in court. And, you know, if you have that type of baggage, if you have that type of political culpability and litigation problems, of course you're going to go to great lengths to stay in office to avoid that. So that's what the former president did. That's how we got the January insurrection. Okay. But once you're out of office, you can be held accountable. Now, as I said at the beginning of the show, never before in the history of the United States has a former U.S. president been indicted. But that doesn't mean that this hasn't happened elsewhere. In other progressing and developing democracies, they have indicted former officials, former political officials, including former presidents, former leaders. This is something that has happened before. It's just in the United States, we are not used to seeing our former presidents being tucked away in jail, being handcuffed, or taking their mugshots. But this stuff does actually happen. And so here it is. It is happening. Now, the indictment in this case has not been unsealed yet, so we do not know exactly the charges that Trump is facing here. But we do know that the former president has been indicted. It was last week that the Manhattan District Attorney, Alvin Bragg, released this statement in his formal indictment against the former president, saying, quote, "This evening we contacted Mr. Trump's attorney to coordinate his surrender to the Manhattan's DA's office for arraignment on a Supreme Court indictment, which remains under seal. Guidance will be provided when the arraignment date is selected," end quote. So when he says for his surrender in Manhattan, New York, yes. That means that the former president, of course, has to leave Florida because he's in Florida. Now, there was the whole fight on Twitter with the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, essentially saying, oh, we're not going to hand Trump over. I refuse to commit to extradition if it comes down to that. But, you know, just whatever. Gosh. Donald Trump ended up leaving today. Motorcade coming out of Palm Beach, Florida, heading straight to the airport where his plane took off, and he headed straight to Trump Tower in New York. So he will be in court tomorrow for arraignment. What happens now? When you are arraigned, essentially, your mugshot is taken, as well as essentially this formal process being happened, the criminal charges being read out aloud in court. The indictment is expected to be unsealed tomorrow, so we're going to have special reporting on that throughout this week, presumably on Thursday and also later on Saturday for a special history special. Something like this has happened before, except it wasn't a president. But, you know, a lot of moving pieces are happening right now in this case, in this criminal investigation. I mean, honestly, it's just, if you take a step back for a second, to just take a moment to seep in what's happening. I mean, like, I'm doing this entire show unscripted. Because I was like, I have to get this out there. So, like, everything that I'm saying is coming completely from the top of my head. But if you take just a moment to, like, let this seep in for a second, we do need to realize what is happening, right? A former president of the United States, specifically Donald Trump, has just been indicted. And, you know, this is not the only indictment that the former president could face, because, of course, there is the criminal investigation in Georgia where the district attorney there, District Attorney Fani Willis, is wrapping up her investigation after they just, you know, conducted their grand jury and everything. That could be coming soon, another indictment. We're also looking at a potential third indictment from federal prosecutors on, you know, insurrection charges. The January 6th investigation is still happening at the Justice Department. It was reported just, I believe, last week that the DOJ is expected to be getting new overwhelming, damning evidence in relation to the January 6th insurrection. There also could even potentially be a fourth indictment, not to mention that New York Attorney General Letitia James is also investigating the former president for multiple financial crimes as well. He's expected to be deposed later this month. In addition to that, he's also expected to appear. Also, there is the trial of E. Jean Carroll, who accused the former president of raping her back in the 1990s. That trial kicks off later this month as well. There's also the court proceeding that will be taking place later this month of, the Fox News guys. Their allegations about Dominion corrupt voting systems in the 2020 presidential election, and also how they repeatedly hate Donald Trump and how they said that in private and not in public. And that he's crazy and that all these allegations are bogus and, you know, woohoo. So that's going to be happening soon. That is all happening this month. This is what the month of April is looking like for Donald Trump. You know, a U.S. president was actually arrested. This was like back in the 1870s. Ulysses Grant was stopped for speeding down the streets of Washington, D.C. in his horse. You know, in his horse carriage. He was paid $20 and he went on his way to continue his job as the commander in chief. You know, speeding ticket as opposed to multiple superseding indictments. Multiple. But when Trump walked out of office, you know, it was very clear that he was a walking criminal. You know, he was a walking criminal. This was something that was inevitable. The justice system was eventually going to touch him, was eventually going to reach him. Like, this is not something you could, you know, presumably just, you know, avoid. This is something that's most definitely going to happen. And so it officially has happened as of today. And one of the major concerns, and as I've talked about here, is the former president's, essentially his supporters, showing out in great numbers and potentially threatening the state of U.S. democracy. Now, of course, we still are on high alert for such actions because things could easily change. There could be millions of protesters one day threatening significant violence against federal officials and all involved in this case. But what we are seeing here is just very little of that. Trump once threatened that, hey, if you indict me, you're going to see protests, anything unlike this country has ever seen before. Well, this was the headline from Politico just a couple of days ago. Quote, lone MAGA supporter awaits Trump in New York, fears Antifa. Lone MAGA supporter. That's the key. Just one. The New York Intelligencer reports Trump supporters in Manhattan are outnumbered by reporters. So that's another one. I mean, honestly, all of this is happening at once. The former president expecting to be arraigned in court tomorrow on these allegations. Trump literally said, quote, "I think if it happened, I think you'd have problems in this country like the likes of which perhaps we've never seen before. I don't think the people of the United States would stand for it." Talking about essentially the impending protests if he's indicted. We'll see what happens. We'll keep an eye on that for you, and we'll let you know more when we learn more. Of course, it was last year in December that the Trump Organization was found guilty in a tax fraud scheme. Of course, it was also in June of 2021 that the Trump Organization was, just hounded with criminal indictments. The CFO, Alan Weisselberg, ended up going to jail for that. He gets out next week, I believe. He's at Rikers Prison in New York City. Just in terms of the Trump associates who have been convicted of felonies, Alan Weisselberg, of course, Paul Manafort, Rick Gates, Roger Stone, Steve Bannon, Michael Flynn, Michael Cohen. Alan Weisselberg, of course, is the CEO of Trump Organization. Paul Manafort is the former president's essentially campaign manager. He was in charge of that as well. Rick Gates, the deputy campaign manager. Roger Stone, a close Trump ally and confidant. Steve Bannon, close Trump advisor. Michael Flynn, former national security advisor. And Michael Cohen, of course, Trump's former lawyer and fixer. So all of this is happening at once. All of this. The former president of the United States is expected to be arraigned in court tomorrow, where he will turn himself in to take a mugshot and to have his Miranda rights read to him, and also where the charges will be read aloud in court. In a statement, according to multiple news organizations that requested to essentially be allowed to have cameras in the courtroom or essentially to be allowed access thus far. The judge in this case has said that there will be no cameras in the courtroom. Reporters are allowed to enter, but you know, their phones will be allowed to be in there. But once the proceedings start, phones will no longer be allowed to be on. So we will keep you updated as we learn more. This is honestly a huge, huge thing for the United States of America, for a former president to be indicted. I will say, though, it is worth essentially addressing the fact that we should be humble about this, because as Rachel Maddow said on MSNBC, you know, this could be a very, very slow case. This, you know, people go to jail all the time for, like, you know, blue-collar crimes, financial crimes, especially when it comes to, like, falsifying records and business and stuff. You know, it's not like this is, like, the Georgia investigation where, oh, we're looking into the president. We're about to indict the president for, you know, attempting to corrupt an election in Georgia, attempting to overturn an election by influencing a state official. You know, that would probably be more interesting. This could be more slow and also mundane as the litigation process plays out, because this could take months. But essentially what the presumable result, presumably what could conceivably happen in this trial, is that Trump ends up walking away with just like a fine, a hefty fine, which has happened before and before. So... I've been itching to talk about this on the Jeremiah Patterson Show. Just celebrated my 11-month anniversary with my girlfriend. That's exciting. So that's why I wasn't here for like a couple of weeks. But, you know, there is a lot happening. I must say, as an American citizen right now, keep your heads up. Eyes focused. Ears listening. Stay attentive. But what I also will say here is an important lesson that Rachel Maddow has taught all of us, essentially, when it comes to Trump and his shenanigans, is to watch what they do, not what they say. There's going to be a lot said during this trial. There's going to be a lot said over the course of this criminal procedure and over the course of litigation. watch exactly what they are doing and not what they are saying, because what they are saying is, oh yes, this is going to be such a great spectacle. We're going to have, you know, we raised $7 million since Trump's indictment, Trump's camp has said reportedly. Also, yeah, this is going to be great for political ads and looking like the Democrats are a bunch of corrupt officials just trying to prosecute their political enemies. This is going to be great for our political ads, and it's going to boost your chances in 2024, Mr. President. But what they are doing is actually, you know, requesting in writing that the president actually, you know, the former president not actually, you know, actually have cameras in the courtroom. What they're saying is, yes, please bring the cameras. It's going to be great walking into the courthouse, being arraigned on these pent up criminal charges by the corrupt Democrats. Yes, they are saying that, but what they are doing is hoping to keep everything secret, to keep everything private under the wraps. So that is an important thing to watch for in this trial. We are going to have special coverage, more on this as we learn more, and special more in-depth coverage, because there are several... I don't know if I want to say several, but there's like a major historical parallel to this, not involving a U.S. president. It's probably something you never heard of before. But I believe it's something you're going to want to hear. And we're going to bring that special live historical report to you coming up, I believe, this Saturday. If not, it'll be later on this week, either Thursday or Friday, because we are working on that right now. And we're going to bring that to you. It's super exciting. It's going to be super revealing. And I feel like it'll not only give you some, clarity in terms of litigation, but also just historical precedence that, yes, something like this has happened before, not a former president, not even a current one, but it was a high-level official in U.S. government, and it was historical. It was insane. Whew. So, thank you for listening to this episode of The Jeremiah Patterson Show. Wow, I talked for 22 minutes. I just did a 22-minute monologue without a script. That's insane. You know, I guess you learn so much in this business that you just, you know, it all stays there in your head. Anyways, thank you for listening to this episode of the Jeremiah Patterson Show. Have a great day. Remember to stay positive and inspired. Remember, the former president of the United States will be arraigned in court tomorrow. We are expecting to see that, and we will be reporting here on the Jeremiah Patterson Show more as we learn more. Thank you for being with us. Have a great night. Remember to stay positive and inspired. Take care.